Amen. I am very encouraged today because I get to give you a report on the crescendo of creation. Today we look at foundations, the beginnings, the origins of all of creation, and we come to the sixth day. And we get to give an account today, on the sixth day, of God's great and glorious work. To give an account of how God has worked in this world and brought us about. And in giving the account, I believe the Holy Spirit causes us today to give an account ourselves. Genesis has shown the glory of God in creation, the light, the creation of the sky and the sea and the stars and the plants and animals, both those in the waters and in the skies. And on the sixth day, he creates land animals. And so we have all kinds of creepy, crawly beasts. And then we today focus in on the culmination of his creation and his creation of man. Today we learn, where do we come from? We learn God's intent for his people. And so my question for you today is, what makes us truly unique in all of creation? What makes us truly unique? And also, what does it mean to be human under God? Today we'll see that humanity is created uniquely in the image of God for a purpose, with a blessing, and part of that which is very good. The lead-up verses of this said, oftentimes in the creation of plants or animals, that he had created them according to their kind. But today we see that humanity was made in the image of God himself. We are unique. And so we need to have a unique understanding of our place in all of creation and know that we are a work of God. So here we begin. Day six. God creates land animals, and he also sets humanity apart. He pauses in his creation, and he says, "Let us make man." And he creates man with a different kind of intentional purposefulness that he doesn't take with the other animals. And you can tell that it's crescendos because this is a different way of talking about creation. He's moved from giving just one that makes begets another, a seed of its own kind, but he says the beginning of creation is not the chicken or the egg of man. The beginning of creation is God is creating in his own image. It is not a cosmic accident that we are here. It is by God's design and special creation, reflecting his covenantal purposes with his creation. And so you and I need to know that we are not just biological soup, but we are full of dignity that is rooted in the fact that we reflect the Creator who made you in his image. There's a biblical term from this. It comes from this image bearing. It comes from the Latin of the Hebrew. And so it is imago Dei. And it asserts that humans are unique creatures. In fact, that's what it means. It means the image of God. And it asserts that humans, creatures are unique in all of creation. Unique. And we possess an inherent value that's different than anything else around us. We have a spirit, we have a mind, we have morals, and we have intellectual capacities that reflect our Creator. To think about this image, and we've talked about this many times before because it's foundational to what we teach at Redeemer, is that this image was a kind of stone that was built that set across the boundaries of a certain location. And the idea is whoever his image was on there, wherever those markers were, that territory belonged to that image. And so God has placed his image on us so that we might be those boundary stones, and in many ways extending those boundary stones to take over different parts of the of this world with his appearance and with his authority. We are God's vice regents. We are called to rule and cultivate and steward the creation that is under his authority. We have a resemblance to God. We bear his image. Humanity reflects God's design from the beginning. This is not a social construct, but it is a divine creation. We were made for a relationship with this Creator in which we bear his image. We are made to be in covenant with him, to have a relationship with him, to have a give and take with the Creator. Psalm 139, 13 through 15 says this, "For you formed me in my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." You can use the word here, awfully. We hear the word awfully, you think, oh, that's terrible. But it really means like, when you look at the creation, you go, oh. And you and I are created such that we can look at each other and we can even look in the mirror. I know sometimes when we look in the mirror, we don't think, oh, we think, oh. But as we see who God has made us, we understand that we reflect God. We realize that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And as we see even how our body works and how our body doesn't work, as it is fallen, we realize that God has knit together something powerful and beautiful. As we look deeper into how we are constructed, we look at how the eye is put together, or how the brain works, or how all of these parts work in conjunction with each other, we realize that we were fearfully and awfully, awesomely made. Goes on to say, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth." Not only did God create mankind and humanity in his image, but he made you in his image. You are greatly loved. You are greatly constructed. It is a beautiful thing that is in you. And it's unique to anything else in the world. You are important. You are valued. You are thought of. You are knit together. You are not an accident. You have the image of God. Your life is sacred. You know, and after the fall, that sacredness, that sanctity that is life came under assault. In fact, what do we see is the first sin that happens right after the fall? The first sin is murder. It is violence. And it is a devolving of the world and a sacrifice of the image of God. And we see it today, don't we? We see it wherever we go. It's in the news. It's all around us. Whether it's violence, whether it's abortion, whether it's racism or neglect, all of these things are an assault against the image of God. And so what should our response be? We should be those who lift up the Imago Dei. We see it in ourselves, but also we see it in others. Do you remember as Jesus is unfolding what the kingdom of God looks like on the Sermon on the Mount? He said that if you say to someone, raka, which means you fool, that you have committed murder. Like, oh, come on now. I mean, that seems a little. You know, Jesus sometimes does that. You kind of go, that's a little, you know, beyond the pale. Why does he say that? It's because what you've said of this creation, what you've said of this person is you are a fool. In many ways, it's like the old mafia movies. It's like, you're dead to me, you know? Like, you don't even exist. I don't consider you a person. I have written you off. And if you've done that, you have actually murdered them. You have disgraced them. You have disgraced the imago Dei that this person carries with them. You have demeaned it. And this is an affront to God. It is a denial of God's presence in that moment. You know, so Jesus says, when you have fed someone who is, if you have not fed someone who is hungry, if you have not clothed someone who is naked, if you have not visited someone in jail, you have not done that to me. You have not been there for me, because that person carries the imago Dei. Even, I learned in this reading of the spiritual disciplines that we have to be careful even about calling ourselves fools. I don't know about you, but I do that fairly often. Lahan, you're an idiot, right? Even in that, like, be careful. Like, God didn't make me an idiot. God didn't make you. Like, you have value. Don't say fool to yourself. Like, that too is demeaning from God's creation. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You may be having a bad day, but you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so don't degrade yourself. That's not of this, that's of this world. That's not of Christ's. We have a world that is changing. We have a world that is full of tearing down the imago Dei. And I think we're going to continue to have more and more challenges in trying to understand what that looks like. Even today, like, if you think about the influence of AI that is in many ways taking away, it can be helpful, like any kind of technology, but also it can also be dehumanizing. Recently, the U.S. Federal Trade Commission is investigating some chatbots that are made from AI that are companions and that are used by teens in place of real friends. Wouldn't it be better to have a chat box that could be a better friend than their friends, right? One that doesn't ghost you and those kind of things. But there's also a great concern that would be dehumanizing, that we look to AI instead of looking towards people. I'm not saying AI is all bad, but I'm saying we are going to continue to see our world making up new ways in many ways to dehumanize us. It's going to be important for employers to think about that too, as it becomes more efficient to have AI do something for you rather than a real person. We have lots of struggles coming up. How do we deal with that? How do we not forget the imago Dei? We look around us and we wonder, how do we as the people of God see each other and see the world around us? And so I would encourage us at Redeemer, let us continue to be diligent in pointing out those places in which there is a demeaning of the imago Dei and even violence against it. Whether it's, we just recently had the Pregnancy Care Center come and speak to us, and some of you spoke to them and found out ways that you can be involved with families, and you encourage them as they have children or choose not to have children or as they choose abortion, try to encourage them in remembering that God made us in a way that is fearful and wonderful, and that we love the sanctity of life. We as the people of God should be aware of trafficking and understand that pornography is not just polluting to our own souls, but it's the profaning of the imago Dei. It is a profaning of the purpose and plans of God and His original instructions. It just doesn't kill us. It actually is tearing down something that is unique and special. we as the people of God need to lift up the Imago Dei, that especially as it pertains to racism and care for the poor. And how do we do that? Well, one way we should do that, and the way that we have been encouraged to do here, is to find yourself in places where there is poverty and where people are beaten down, and to care for those people by coming in the same circles and seeing the struggle that people have. We as the people of God should understand that we have a place as the people of God in lifting up those who are less fortunate and who are in need. It means that we go into places that are not always comfortable, even like 2 weeks ago in the nursing homes. As we go where people are struggling and where they're having a hard time, where they can be forgotten and lost, and we lift up the Imago Dei in the name of Christ, and we see people, even in the nursing homes, we've seen this several times, that are not well cared for in maybe a particular nursing home. And we as a people of God say, we do not forget them. They are still valuable people, even though maybe no one knows their name, maybe they don't have family that comes visiting them. We see in them that they are beautifully made by God. And so we cannot stand by and do nothing. It'll be so easy for us as a people of God to just take care of ourselves, to grow our church and to do great things and to have large numbers and all these things, and for us to just think about ourselves and not think about this world around us. But we have been called into this world to care for those who are hungry and needy. In fact, today we don't have John Sims here today. You know probably where he is? Yeah, he's in the jail. Yeah, I mean, we don't have to bail him out. They'll let him out later today, but where is he today? He's in jail because there are those who are, you know, most, probably 95% of them are where they should be. They've done something wrong, right? But we can't, as the people of God, say, Raca, right? We can't say, you're not worth anything because you violated the law. No, but we go to them and we still preach the good news to them and let them know that they are not left alone. I want to say, I'm going to step on some toes here. I'm get some mail. I can tell you I'm going to get some mail on Monday. But even when it comes to immigration, as we think about the rules that are there, and we are people of justice, and we get the idea, like, yes, there are rules that are in place that are good for our country, and things have been, the laws have been subverted and things. But if we say every immigrant that's here illegally, everyone who's here illegally, if we say Raca to them, shame on us, right? It does matter how we treat people. Even if whether it's in the jail, even if it's deporting, whatever it might be, it is important that we just don't cancel people. I want to say, I don't know about you, but my world has been rocked this week with the murder of Charlie Kirk. As he shares a lot of things that I agree with. I mean, and he is a proponent of Christian values. And to come to this place of this terrible violence, how clear is this a picture of God, of the violence against the Imago Dei? And this is not just happening to Charlie Kirk, but it's happening across our communities. And I know that what saddened many of us even more, or to a different extent, is how the media has portrayed this, and some have even been laughing or being disrespectful of those who have died and been murdered. How they've not laughed at the Imago Dei and basically said of him, well, he's Raca. But brothers and sisters, we too need to be careful. For those who are saying those things, we too can say Raca as well. And we can write them off as fools. Are they doing foolish things? Yes. Are they doing ungodly things? Yes. But that doesn't give us permission to join in. we are called to continue to struggle as the people of God, as one of those who lift up the image of God, and we are set on a different path. Okay, that was just the Imago Dei. Not only has he created us in this way, and in the crescendo of creation, he says, let us. It is the heavenlies coming together, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, just kind of saying, we're in on this. It reminds me of Ephesians chapter 1 when it talks about our salvation. For in our salvation, he says, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, as you read through chapter 1, you see they are all in on our salvation, just as they were all in our creation. In verses 26 and 28, God says now that we are to have dominion over this world. We are to be stewards and not exploiters of the world around us. We are to take the chaos, like God did, like take things that are chaotic and bring them into order. That's what he's been given for our hands to do, to make this place a better place. And he creates male and female to do this together. So in chapter 2, hang on, we'll get there, we see the story of creation of man and woman. We see it in more detail. We get an insider's view on what happened at creation with men and women. But we first begin by a description of humanity as just being male and female. I'm saying that God did not create one above the other, but he created them together. And we'll hear the details later on. But we know that male and female were created as male and female with the purpose. And their mandate is for them to go into this world and to have more male and female. And for there to grow and for the image of God to spread across the world. An image of God that is under his rule, but also in this creative form, making chaotic things have order. To take the creation and to bring it under God's authority and control. This mandate continued didn't stop with Adam and Eve, but you see all the way into Noah. What is Noah called to do in creation? Well, he is going to save the humanity, male and female. He's going to save his family, but God has called him also to save all the animals. And so the animals get on the boat, and he is then the caretakers of all of creation, which makes for great storybooks for our kids, and brings them to a place of respite so that they can go and continue the earth, a kind of second creation. And so for today, as we look at this world around us, we have to be careful that we don't become selfish once again and use all of creation for our own selves, but we are to be stewards of the creation around us, our work, our environment, our families and communities. And so wherever we go, we are taking the image of God and the goodness of God, and we are applying it in that place. So we have to be careful. We are not sucked into the Imago Dei killers of the world, but that we set a new kind of agenda that is that respects the sanctity of life, that cares about the earth itself, and the animals and all those things around it. We are responsible for these. And so, people of God, the question is, are you using your gifts, your labor, the work that you're doing, to extend God's good order? Are your investments going for things that are good? Is the work of your hands and the place that God's given you to work, are you bringing the face of God in those places? Or are you building your own little kingdom? God says of what he is doing in the creation of man that he then blesses him. In fact, he says it three times, that he blesses humanity. And if you were here last week, you heard that this idea of blessing in the Bible is a word that means basically success. Like, he made it so we'd be successful. He made that for the image bearers to be successful in what they do. Now, we're not a health and wealth gospel kind of people, but we know that God does bless us and he does work through us and he fills us with this kind of blessing so that we are successful in the thing that God's called us to do, being fruitful and multiplying and filling the earth with image bearers. Despite the fact that we have enemies and death, God's message, his purpose carries on. And he enables, he uses us as his people to fulfill his purposes. As you look around, we got lots of little kids running around here, don't we? We take these verses pretty seriously. We as families are part of God's design for multiplying his image in the world. So we encourage our families and want to support them. And what God says of all this is very good. Once he completes his creative work, he looks across all of creation. I think he especially has his eye on these first two, man and woman that he's created, and he says of it, it's very good. There is a philosophical underlying thing here that there is a philosophy that says the things in this world, the material things, are bad. We don't believe that. We believe that this actually is very good. And there will become a day in which there will be a new kind of this thing and a new kind of heavens. And it will be a different kind of thing, like before the fall. And it will be very good. So we see these things. We're like, how do we promote them? How do we make them better? How do we take things that are chaotic and how do we make them into something that is beautiful and reflects God, something that has the authority of God printed on it? So this ends the creation, the 6 days of creation. Next week we'll look at the day of rest, but 6 days of creation are now full, finished. After we see this, we're going to see, of course, the fall of humanity. And things change. This creation changes under the fall of humanity. We see that the image of God is not erased, but it becomes marred. And so we have to skip. We just can't stop there, right? Because we live in a day that isn't the garden. There's something that's happened. We've had the fall. And so with the fall, the image has been marred. We see that the garden is now falling apart, right? But there came what 1 Corinthians says, a second Adam. And in the second Adam, who is Jesus, we see not just the Imago Dei, but we see the very presence of God walking here on earth. And so we don't look towards Adam and say, Adam and Eve, how did you live? I want to live like that. No, in fact, we did that. We'd be back in the same place. But we see that we have been given a way to take the authority of God wherever we go. So Jesus fulfills this original promise. And now he has come in the flesh. And he's come to live and to bring the image of God, the presence of God, throughout this world. And so for those who come and they put their faith in him, he doesn't make them just friends along the way, but he transforms them and makes a new community of faith that is spiritually alive. Amen. And so now that which was spiritually dead has now come alive, and we carry the image of Christ wherever we go. And we continue to bring the dominion mandate. But we do it not as, we talked earlier today in our world religion classes, not as Islam says to do it. But we do it as Jesus said, as the kingdom of God, as kingdom people. We carry out the Sermon on the Mount. We bring the glory of God wherever we go, and we bring it with great respect to the Imago Dei, the Imago Dei that's in all people. And we don't say Raka to people, we say Jesus to people, because we want them to come into this faith and to be born again, to fulfill the mandate of God, to take his face throughout the world. true humanity is found in Jesus Christ. To reflect God's image, we are to be united in faith in Christ. So the question for you, brothers and sisters, are we being conformed into the image of this world, or are you being renewed into the image of Christ? What we have here is something unique in the created world. We are called to rule. We are blessed to multiply. And God says of it, it's very good. Our dignity is not rooted in our performance, but in God's design. Our hope is not on what we can accomplish, but in Christ, who is the true image of God and restores what is broken. Brothers and sisters, wherever you go, live as God's representative. Whether it's in your workplace, whether it's on the soccer field, whether it's the bank, whether it's online, live as God's representative. Cherish the life that you've given. As you look in the mirror, don't go, ugh. As you look in there, you go, oh man, those there are more wrinkles than I remember, right? That hair is turning a different color. I'm getting larger. But that we look at and we say, oh, but how wonderfully made this is. This is God creation. Look how this functions. And I bear the image of God. I can think, and I have a spirit. This is a beautiful thing. Steward our creation well. Be sure to be around other Imago Dei that you normally wouldn't be, to care for them as Christ would want us to. Make a difference with the things that God's given you. Be creative. Take these things that are chaos and extend the kingdom of God with your finances, with your work, with your words, with your love. All of this is extremely taxing. So do not forget Him in the midst of this. Every day, spend time with Him. Seek renewal in Christ. Don't listen to what the world has to say about you. Listen to what Christ has to say about you. Walk in His strength. Walk in His perfect image. Let's pray.